He went to a church at one time, and he wanted to join the church and be catechized in the scriptures. And an usher came to him and told him, though, that he needed to go worship with his own people and get out of the church. As a result, Gandhi basically said that, well, if Christianity has a caste system, I might as well stay a Hindu. And it's a lesson to us to, as we will see, to not look down upon anybody and to look at no man as being common or unclean. And so let us look at Acts chapter 10. Starting with verse 34, and just something that we will actually, as you will see from the bulletin, we'll actually cover a lot in this sermon, but due to the length of it, unfortunately, we were only able to to read part of it, but there's a lot of repetition in this passage. So let us look at Acts chapter 10, starting verse 34. Then Peter began to speak, and he is speaking again to Cornelius, who is wanting to become a Christian, and who is a Gentile. And he tells him, he says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everything who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit had poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they may be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a text that speaks mightily of your word, speaks mightily of your truth. And we ask you, Lord, that your truth would pierce our hearts and our minds this morning, that we might see your truth and we might apply it to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we're preaching in the midst of preaching through Acts, and this is a major turning point in the book of Acts, where the gospel is now going carried to the Gentiles. And again, we will be considering all these verses from chapter 9, verse 32, all the way down to chapter 11, verse 18. We won't be able to read them word for word, but you need to keep your Bibles open the whole time. You need to keep your Bibles open the whole time whenever you hear somebody preach, because you need to make sure that what they're saying is God's truth. But particularly today, though, as I will be pointing to you several things in the scripture, there's two points that I think that is very vitally, vitally, vitally important for us to see in the scripture. The first is we need to see how one might be saved, how one might be saved, particularly Gentiles. That includes all of us, I'm sure. And the other thing that we need to see is the whole aspect of racism, how it is dealt with. Now, this passage that we're studying is actually kind of a mini book of Gentiles. A mini book of Galatians, and it is a text that shows us really exactly what Galatians is all about. And so, the first thing that we need to see is that we need to see that how the Gentiles came to saving knowledge and faith. And that is through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. Now, let me say this real quick. There's some theologians out there, if you want to call them theologians, they claim to follow the new perspectives on Paul. And they take, for instance, the book of Galatians, and they say that the book of Galatians is all about racism. At least that's my understanding from what little research I've done on the new perspective on Paul, or federal theology, as some have called it. And the problem with that is, of course, is that they're not reading Galatians as well as the book of Romans as it truly is. Both of these books are about salvation, and they're about salvation by grace through faith. And so it's a real disservice to these texts when they say that it has nothing to do with justification. And in fact, as we'll see this morning, actually, you really cannot get to the racism part message of the gospel until you actually go through the cross, until you actually see that one is saved by grace through faith. So the first is of course, we'll look at considering, that is that one is saved by grace through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And we do that, we see that principally through the verses that we read. Chapter 10, particularly chapter 10, verse 34, down to the end of the chapter. You have to understand that there was this notion in the early church that, okay, the Gentiles, in order for them to come to Christ, what they had to do is they had to be circumcised and they had to follow the law of Moses. In other words, they had to become a Jew in order for them to be really saved, in order for them to truly become Christians. And so there was a misunderstanding, and that's what Paul's whole point in Galatians is about. Is that no, look, if you say I'm saved by Jesus plus circumcision, it really ends up being that you're trusting in circumcision. Or you could put anything in there. Say Jesus plus baptism. If there's a lot of unfortunate people who teach that, is that one is saved by Jesus plus being baptized. It's the same thing. Or Jesus, they teach that Jesus is saved, that one is saved by Jesus plus good works. Understand something, that as sinful as you and I are, as sinful as you and I are, is there any way possible, there is no way possible, that we can be saved by anything else other than the blood of Christ, by trusting in Jesus Christ. And this is what Peter's point is. And I want you to go back and look at verse 39 of chapter 10. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everything who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Again, let me read verse 45. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. Everyone who believes receives forgiveness through his name. It is not everyone who believes in him plus is circumcised, or everyone who believes in him and is baptized, or everyone who believes in him and does these good works, or everyone who believes in him and follows the Ten Commandments. No, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. And if you attempt to add anything to that, then it doesn't become the gospel. It becomes something else. And again, I want you to listen to me. If there is if you have this mistaken notion that you are saved by something else other than the blood of Jesus Christ, you aren't comprehending how vast and deep sin there is in your life. And you are not comprehending how holy God is. And I would urge you to come talk to me about your walk and about the fact that if you are a Christian, if you're putting your trust in something else other than the blood of Christ, it is the blood of Christ alone which saves. And that is the first point from this passage, and it is in fact the most important point, because we really, until we grasp that, we really can't get to the second point. Galatians, the same thing. The second point of the whole passage is this. What you see is, of course, is that Cornelius has a vision in the early part of chapter 10. And he has this vision and he is to go to Peter's house. In the midst of that, what happens is that Peter has a vision himself. And it's a vision, in fact, look at verse 9 of chapter 10. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Now, with Peter here, if you see God's truth in Scripture, God tells you something through his word, you need to do it, okay? I mean, that's just kind of a given, but that's not what Peter does. "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times. Immediately, the sheet was taken back to heaven. You realize what it said when it happened three times? Three times, apparently, Peter said, "No, surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." So he sees the vision three times. In other words, there's a huge emphasis here. Huge emphasis here. And it changes everything. Because understand that this, in Jewish culture, this was so vitally important that you don't eat impure or unclean things, that you don't put anything in your mouth that is unclean, and most of all, you don't allow anything in your house that is impure and unclean, including Gentiles. So in other words, you would not eat with Gentiles. You would not eat with people who are unclean. So what does Peter learn about this? We'll keep on studying. What you see is, of course, Cornelius comes, but I want you to look at verse 23. "Then Peter invited the man of the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. 'Stand up,' he said. 'I'm only man myself.' Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, 'You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean.'" What does Peter learn from the vision? 28. "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." That is principally what Peter got from the vision. That is what God taught him from the vision, is that he should not call any man, including woman or child, impure or unclean. The English Standard Version and the New King James Version actually translate the first word better. Instead of impure, it translates as common. That he should not call any man common or unclean. So, here's the point. If this is what Peter learned through the vision, that in other words, he is to go and eat pig, eat pork with Gentiles, sit at their table. He's not to call any man common or unclean. What does that mean? It means that formerly, Peter was a racist. Peter had this thoughts in his head that, you know, oh, before he would call people common. He would look down on people because principally because they were not Jewish. Or he would call them unclean. He would look at them and he would view them as unclean people. Now, before too harsh on Peter, I want us to consider what happens at the end of chapter 9. Because at the end of chapter 9, what you see is that Peter goes and heals several people. But pay a particular attention to the last verse of chapter 9, verse 45. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Now, here's the thing. He stayed in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. I also was at a tanner's house yesterday. Marty and Noah and I were at a tanner's house yesterday. The tanner that we were at, was much cuter and much more adorable than this tanner, I'm sure. It was Tanner's birthday party, Irwin's grandson. It was a wonderful time, and Tanner was adorable. But tanners back then were not adorable. Tanners back then, this was a job. This was an occupation that tanners did, and they would tan things. And tanners would be absolutely gross and disgusting, and they would smell. And in fact, there was a rule that a woman could divorce her husband if she found out that he was a tanner. And so what you see is that tanners were looked down, and yet here Peter is, he's staying in this person's home. So you see, while Peter at one point was looked down on people because of their race, at another point he also did not care about such things, about whether somebody was a tanner or not. After all, he was a fisherman. You see, we're quite like that sometimes. We may be like Peter, that we don't look down on other people because of their occupation or whatever it is, but somebody of another race, we tend to look down on them and call them common or unclean. And we may not be like Peter. We may not have any problems with a black person or a Hispanic person, but have other problems with people because they're well-educated or not educated very much at all, because they're very rich or because they're very poor, because they like to read and we don't, or because they don't like to read and we do. Because you name it, because they smell, because they look different, because they're not that attractive. You name it, the list goes on and on, because they don't have the right work ethic that we do. Or they might have more of a work ethic than we do. You name it. Fill in the blank. We can look down on people in pride due to our arrogance because we can view other people as common or unclean. And this is what Peter was learning here. That I should not call any man common or unclean. I should respect people because they remain the image of God, and I should share the gospel with them, which he does. And he invites them into his house. That's unheard of. Or he comes to this person's house. It's unheard of. And so what you see is this vast, vast, vast difference in Peter. He goes from a prideful person in one area that was particularly his race, and he realizes that he should not call any man common or unclean. Now, look, it's sad to say that Peter, there were times apparently in his life when he slipped back. I want to read to you from Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. This is Paul's speaking. He says, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. In other words, he used to eat with people, and he used to not care whether Gentiles, Jew or Gentiles, whether circumcised or uncircumcised, and he would just eat with them, sit down and eat with them, and not care. But then Paul goes on to say, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group. In other words, he went back to his old ways, and he started treating Gentiles like second-class citizens, like second-class Christians. Now, look, I don't think that Peter actually came to the point, and I don't think that Peter here, I mean, you look at his previous sermons, I don't think that Peter actually would probably say that, oh, you know, you've got to be saved by Jesus plus circumcision. But it's the point of it all is that his actions almost kind of seem to say that. In other words, his actions was like, you know, first you have to do this in order for me to welcome you. And we can do that. Now, if you don't think that's a big deal, I want you to consider how harsh the book of Galatians is. Because the book of Galatians, and Paul is adamant about these things should not happen. And he's battling for the very sake of the gospel. And I want to ask you a question. And to be honest with yourself, maybe for the first time in your life, has there been moments in your life and my life when I have not treated somebody with respect that I should? When I have not been willing, for instance, to go into their homes or invite them into my home? When I have been not willing to sit down and eat with them? When I have not treated them with love and respect simply because of either race or the fact that they have money or don't have money, or you name it, all that list that I mentioned previously. Is there any time that I have done that? If that's so, understand something, then in doing that, I've compromised the gospel. Because I'm saying, you know, you have to really come up to my level in order for me to welcome you. You're second class. You're not as good as I am. Sad to say, we've all done that, I'm sure. I have, and you have. There's always been times in our lives when I have not shown the love of Christ like I should because I have looked down on people. There's always times in my life when I may not have witnessed to somebody when I should have because I view people as common or unclean. And you think about those moments, and you consider those moments, and you reflect upon how important that was to Paul in Galatians, because Paul was battling for the very sake of the gospel itself. This is no small thing. As Christians, as believers, we should never call a person common or unclean. We should never look down on anybody, regardless of anything they've done or who they are. It's the very sake of the gospel that the Apostle Paul was fighting for. It's the very sake of the gospel that Peter was coming to understand. Now, look, here's the thing. I mentioned that you really, you know, there are people who look at, for instance, Romans and Galatians, particularly Galatians, who say it's all dealing all with racism, and they want to throw out the most important aspect of Galatians. I would tell you that you cannot get to even solving racism without doing the first, most important thing, that is the cross. You can't even do that. And so all those who want to jump to such things as racism and not deal with the most vital, most important aspect, and that is the cross, and that is how one is saved, you won't be able to deal with such subjects as racism or pridefulness. You won't be able to. But once you embrace the cross, once you come to realization, once Brant Hammock realizes that he is a wretched sinner and he serves a great Savior, then that changes my approach to life. What does Paul say in Romans? We're saved by grace through faith. Why? So that no one may boast. You see, at the very heart, when we call people common or unclean, for one reason or another, at the very heart of it is pride. And that pride shows us that we are not grasping the cross of Christ as we should. We are not understanding how much we have been forgiven. We are not grasping hold of the gospel and of our salvation, and not grasping hold tightly of Jesus Christ. We are prideful. We are arrogant. And we think we are much more than actually we truly are. But when we grasp hold of the gospel, that changes everything. That changes everything, and it changes my approach to people. It changes the way I treat people. That I will no longer look at man, woman, or child as common or unclean. I will no longer hesitate to enter into people's homes or invite them to my homes. To go to somebody's church or invite them to my church. I won't hesitate. Because I know I'm a huge, tremendous wretch. But I serve a wonderful Savior. And he has invited me to his table. As wretched as I am. So why should I not invite other people to my table? Now look, you can go on and not do what I say. I've known Christians who truly are Christians, I believe, but who walk through life looking down on people. And looking down on people for one reason or another, you name it. And look at people as just, oh, they're just common folk. Or they're unclean. But such a Christianity cannot and will not revive our church. Such a Christianity cannot and will not revive our community. Such a Christianity cannot and will not revive our country, because it is devoid of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is not central in that person's life. And God's grace is most certainly not central. And more than anything, that type of Christianity cannot and will not revive our souls. As we come to this table, come as a wretch among wretches. Look upon no man, woman, or child as common or unclean, because you are just as common as unclean as anybody. And God still invites you to come to this table. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we have grasped hold of your truth, of your word.